Robert, welcome to the show, my man. How you doing?
Fantastic. It's a pleasure being here. Thanks for having me. Let's get excited and let's have some fun.
Oh, man. Before we get to Andre DeGrasse today, which is unbelievable, I want to go back 25 years ago. You know, you weren't scheduled to run. Then there's an injury, and all of a sudden you're part of the team, and, you know, you'd been around, obviously, and you were fast. And tell me the story of you etching blast off into your head, and what was the reason you did it, and when did you do it?
Well, I decided to do something fun because I saw a lot of stress, like business mindset of the team, and I wanted that fun, that playground, that type of energy system. Because when you're playing tag, you never get tired when you're about to go tag someone or coming to get tagged. So I wanted that mindset and the energy system. So I also wanted to create something memorable, which I went to the barber the night before and I said, "Can you draw this in my head?" And he's like, yeah, I can do that. No problem. I have Jamaican. But when I realized after he was done, it was one of the most ugliest thing I've ever seen. But you know what? I couldn't take it out at the time. We just have to roll with it and see how it plays out. So the next day, I was able to show the different teammates, and I saw some laughs. I saw the energy shift, and the fun came back. And I'm like, excellent. This is where I need the team to be at. And then I also use it as a motivational factor for John Drummond, because this man loves the crowd. And any time I can take the crowd away from him, I know I have him in the pocket ready to put some spank down on him. So when he saw the haircut, he saw the T-shirt Arnold Schwarzenegger gave me the night before, says, "Relax, you've been a race." He read it. I knew right then. I said, "I got this guy." On paper, you were right. I was not the fastest. But mindset, the fun, the energy, I knew I had more of that than they did. And if I had to bottle that and explode out the blocks with it, I'm going to do just that. And I did that. The gun went, boom! I came flying out like the rocket launcher. Come around the corner, delivered the baton to my man, Glenroy Gilbert, right? The avalanche, the chest muscles. I saw him flew down the backstretch. On the third leg, we've got the 6'2", tall, dark chocolate, very calm, the French-speaking Bruni Seren. You know, when he holds a glass and play the piano, the lady's like, "Oh, my God, tall, dark chocolate." And then you put the baton in the world's fastest man's hand. We knew it was over. And then at the moment, we did blast off, as the haircut says. And that's what I wanted to do.
Oh, man, I can visualize, just you describing it still, I visualize every handoff. When you gave it to Glenroy Gilbert, like, you had your hands up. It was almost like at that moment, you're like, "We're winning."
That's the signal that it's been landed. It's off. It's safe.
Okay.
It's your turn.
Okay. So as you're watching from in that moment, Robert, like you're fired up, you know, you're like, "Hey, I can only do my job. I got to get us a good start on the bend." And you did that,
yeah.
And you handed off, and your guys' exchanges were perfect. As you're standing around, because it was only 37 seconds, and so you'd
That's
already
right.
ran for 10 or 9 or whatever it was.
10.23, matter of fact. Exactly.
Okay. So there you go. I love it. So when you're standing, that means there's 27 seconds after you're done running. And like, how
That's
fast
right.
did that time go? Or did it seem like, "Oh my goodness, this is like 5 minutes"? Or was it as fast as it looked for you in the moment watching it and experiencing it?
I hope you've never been in an accident. But sometimes when you're about to get into an accident, it's like everything flashes in front of your face. Everything is in slow motion. That's what it was like. It's like slow motion. I'm watching all the pieces. And for me, I'm like, "Please, Donovan, don't turn around." Because he has a habit of turning around. "Don't turn around. Don't turn around." But once again, he took a quick, slight turn to grab the baton. I'm like, "Okay, he's got it. He's got it." Because that was one of my biggest concerns, was the last leg, make sure that baton transitioned smoothly. And then, boom, when I saw him got it, I was doing a happy dance because I know it was over, right, with the lead that he got. And, you know, the funny thing is, the rounds before, he almost stepped over the line because of the baton exchange situation. And that was
yes.
a critical leg that we're always concerned about.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Robert Esme joins us, of course. He was the leadoff runner in the men's 4x100 25 years ago, Robert. How time flies. And here we are 25 years later, and you're one of the few people on the planet who I think can relate to when someone runs fast. Like, you're like, hey, okay, like, I've been on the track. I'm pretty fast. I know what fast is. When you're watching, like Andre DeGrasse has been in 5 Olympic events. He's got 5 right. Olympic medals, man. And today he gets a gold medal in the 200 meter. He comes around the bend. He's not in the lead, but and he didn't expect to be because he feels like the bend's not his strength. And then he just took off and was relaxed. When you're watching something like that, like, do you just sit back with a glass of wine and be like, man, I can respect that because I know how hard it is?
I'd love to get a glass of wine, but unfortunately I don't drink, and it's 6 something in the morning, but it's nighttime somewhere else, so they'll be drinking. But the amazing thing is, I watched his technique through the round that has changed. And I said, if he can clean that up, correct the arm, is going to be that much faster. And I said, the last piece of it, he needed to correct the start. In the 200, you're allowed to have a little bit of mistakes and a leeway, right?
Yeah.
So I saw him coming around the corner. I'm like, yep. And as soon as he's coming around, I saw it's almost even with the guys. And then he slingshot himself around the corner. I'm like, yep. And then as soon as they get off the corner, I think Lau was a foot ahead and another guy about a foot ahead. Then he started lifting his knee. I'm like, it's over for them because Andre DeGrasse is going to do what he does because he is showtime. And it's his time, and it's his show is on, the camera's on, 5 billion people watching. Boom! I saw it put on a kick, that extra horsepower in the glutes, and came ripping up the track, boom, and stayed relaxed at the same time. I'm like, it's his goal. Imagine this. When you say knock, knock, and you say, who's there? He says, Andre. You say, Andre who? Andre DeGrasse, Olympic gold medalist. Now he got a taste of it. Watch out for the next 3 years. Gold medal is going to be coming like Christmas underneath the tree, folks.
Robert, I could just, like, I love your passion and excitement for it. Did you and Donovan and Bruni and Glenroy, like, did you guys have a Zoom call or something? You get on the phone to talk about 25 years or 20 years? Like, do you guys still, cause like, that's a, like, for the country, it's a massive moment. Just for the four of you, like, is it still that special when you see and talk to each other?
You know, I spoke with them about a month, 6 weeks to 2 months ago, and I said, we need to do something special. We all agreed we need to do something special, but we haven't put anything together yet. I know we've done some pieces of documentaries here, I believe, on Friday. But other than that, we haven't got together. We haven't done a Zoom call yet. But I think we need to have that. Just even the celebration of whatever drinks we're going to have over Zoom and have some chit-chat. You totally agree. So let's go, fellas. We need to get together on Zoom and make sure nobody get into the party because it may be extra lit.
Well, what you guys need, though, is we need like a 30 for 30 of the 1996 Olympics from everything involved, the lead up to it. And then where were you, Robert, when all of a sudden the Americans, you know, were, oh, well, the 200 meter, Michael Johnson's the fastest guy. Because I know, like, I was like, that really pissed me off because for the longest time, everybody knew the 100 meter was the fastest man in the world. Right. And hey, Johnson was a really good runner. Don't get me wrong. But where were you when that came about? And where were you when Donovan raced Johnson in Toronto? Were you there?
I was in Vancouver. And I was glued to my television because we know Donovan's going to win. The fastest man on the human being title goes to the 100-meter sprinter, right? Forget about all these other things. Yes, we know Michael Johnson can run maybe even a 10 or whatever in the 100, and he runs a closeout under 10 seconds, but so does Donovan Bailey. The fastest man always goes to the 100-meter. But when the Americans don't win, they always come up with a new formula or a new idea, whatever it is, just so they can enjoy the celebration. But we know 100-meter Donovan Bailey, world's fastest human being. The relay team, Canada, world's fastest relay team, right? They didn't even want to accept that they came second or they lost. They're trying to come up with some kind of excuse, even to today. You know, so, yes, Canada, Canada, Canada. What a performance.
Robert, when was the last time you ran 100 meters?
That's a good question. Maybe 15 years ago, but guess what? I can hold down a 10-meter anytime. Any man on this planet who thinks they can beat me from 0 to 10, you better come check me because I'm willing to empty my bank account and I'm going to win. Take their money with that. 0 to 10 right now, I'm the man. Back in the day, 0 to 40, you can't even blink. I'm gone like a rocket.
So, you know, and you were super fast. So what was it about that? Because it's hard. Like, we see, like, Donovan, and we saw when he won and set the world record, you know, he got out of the blocks okay, but it wasn't great. And then he had that power once you kind of get into fifth gear and then maintain it. How hard is it to maintain from 40 to 100 as a guy who was a very fast? Like, you're in, like, the top 0.001% of fast. But even you couldn't, you know, maintain that like those elite guys. What is it about that final 50 meters?
That's right. This is the process that people don't like to do the work. It's the speed endurance piece. Sprinters don't like it. I was very close in 97, and I hurt myself where I felt I could have went 9.69 because I was one of the fastest out of the blocks at a world record pace every time. But when you do the extra 250s, repeats, continue high speed, I even end up doing treadmill training where I got up to about 27 miles per hour and can hold it for 15 seconds. That tells you you can hold that top end speed at that level. So that's where you have to go and train to get there so your top end can be on point. That is why Andre loved the deuce because he's very confident. The speed endurance work that he puts in, when it's time to use it, he banks it and wants to use it at the championships. When he call upon it, it's there ready to go. So it's the same thing that whatever we're doing in life, we have to do repetitively thousands of times. And when you're ready to use it, it's now there for you to use.
Yeah, that's fascinating because it would be, I could think about it being very difficult to maintain that. And, you know, you were extremely fast out of the 40. Robert, were you, like, when you watched, like, the 400 meters, and I was calculating the speed on, like, 500 or 5,000 meters, and then you get to marathoners, and they're on a different planet. But, like, even the 5,000-meter champion today, she was averaging 17.5 seconds per 100 meters over 5,000. Like, it's just
that's
ridiculous
right. How
they...
That's what, 23 kilometers an hour?
Yeah, like, to be that fast for that long, like, it's kind of mind-blowing. Did you ever run long distance or even middle distance?
No, the longest I've done in practice is maybe a 3K on my off-season. But listen, that takes a different mindset of an athlete, right? I move slow, I do everything slow, but you put me in the blocks, I'm like, I'm ready to go. I need to conserve my energy. But to be able to keep going and keep going, nah, man, that's a different human being, different characteristics, and I don't have that piece there. I have it stick to the 100 meter.
So if you were going to coach young athletes who are listening now, like, what are the, if you want to become an elite sprinter, obviously some of it's genetics for sure, but what do they have to do? Like, where's a good starting point to become a good sprinter?
Fundamentals. I say whatever sport they're doing, try different do a track program with that sport. It allows you the fundamental of jumping, running, agility, flexibility, speed endurance. That's the main balance for everything. I always say start there, and from there you learn to love it and develop it and can take it to the next level. So start at the grassroots if you can.
Grassroots. Robert Esme joins us. And Robert, today, like you said, you haven't ran in 15 years, but let's say you had a month to train. How quick could you go? Like, could you still be? Would you still be a 10-second 100-meter guy?
I might probably run a 10.9 because muscles have memory, and I'm very technical sound when it comes to technique. So, back in the days when I retired, I used to run once a year. I trained for 3 weeks, and I'll go to the Harry Jerome, and I'll run like 10.70, 10.60, and beat up those athletes and laugh at them until it's time for you to retire. Because if I did this for 3 weeks and I beat you, why are you here? I like to trash talk that way to them.
About the trash talking. Like, I know Donovan talked about it a lot where, you know, you would try to, like, there was an intimidation factor. Like, Usain Bolt had it, man, for a long time. Like, Usain Bolt is the craziest sprinter I've ever seen in what he could do. Because for the longest time, Robert, they always felt like, well, tall guys can't run that fast, right? It's going to be too hard to get out of the blocks. Donovan was considered tall. Well, and then all of a sudden you get to Usain Bolt. As a guy who was extremely fast out of the blocks, what impressed you the most when you watched Bolt these last decade and a bit?
That we've improved. It's exciting. I love speed, anything with speed. But overall, these athletes, they take it to another level. Back in our days, I think we peak in the 30s and stuff. These guys are peaking or are tearing up the track within by age 21. They've gone to another level. They're like in the Euro lane right now. But they're on another level. But it's exciting to see the body of work that they're putting down. But unfortunately, I got to cut out. I'll have another interview coming up right now. They're waiting for me.
Hey, Robert,
I'm very popular, too.
I know you are, but hey, we really appreciate you sliding in some time today. That the audience, we got tons of texts. They love your energy. I hope things are doing well.
Anytime.
And you guys better get together. I'll be annoyed if you don't celebrate something that special.
No problem. And everybody in Canada, let's continue cheering. The Olympics are not done. And we're doing a fantastic job. And big up to all the ladies out there. I call it the Ladies Olympic and the Mental Game. The ladies are running the show right now.